This is Audible.
Full Package. Written by Lauren Blakely. Narrated by Sebastian York. Prologue. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that you're considering living with a woman you want to screw. After all, finding an apartment is harder than landing true love, so even if you have to shack up with the fox you've maybe, possibly, always thought was ridiculously hot, you'd do it, right? Look, I know what you're thinking. This can only lead to trouble. Don't sign that lease. Walk the other way. But she's just a friend, I swear. And hey, this is New York City. Rent is crazy expensive. Always better to share it, right? Come on. You'd split the utilities even if it meant you were signing up to become the designated dude sounding board for all her online dating escapades. Please, I could do that with my eyes shut. Advising her on the plenty of fish where she's fishing is simple. I just point to the profile pic and say, he's a douche, he's a tool, he's a dick. Because none of those fuckers are worthy of her. You'd sign that lease even if you had to endure the sweet torture of seeing that beauty walk down the hallway every morning, fresh out of the shower, a tiny towel cinched around her tits. Easy as pie. Even if she called out, hey Chase, can you bring me my body lotion? Ha, that's child's play. Okay, maybe I whimpered a bit when she made the request, and I'll concede the situation was a bit hard. Like steel levels, when the towel slipped and I caught a glimpse of her perfect flesh before she yanked it up. But still, I can handle all that, no problemo. Want to know why? I've done it for years, and it's my secret talent. You see, everyone has a unique ability. Perhaps you can lick your elbow, stick your whole fist in your mouth, don't try that at home, kids, or make your eyes move in opposite directions. Impressive party tricks, to be sure. Want to know mine? My one-of-a-kind skill will save me from a living situation guaranteed to induce an early riser in the pants that lasts round the clock. Here's my special gift. I'm the king of compartmentalization, and I come equipped with separate drawers for everything. Desires and actions, lust and feelings, love and sex. One goes here, the other goes there, and never the two shall meet. That's why when one of my best friends came to me with a solution that would solve a big problem for both of us, I just didn't see how anything could go off the rails. All I've got to do is keep my hands off her, my dirty thoughts locked up, and my eyes looking the other way the next time she gets undressed. Mere fucking feet away from me. I can do this. I can absolutely do this. When you're the virtuoso of resistance, nothing can knock you off your game. Not even cohabitating inside 600 square feet with a woman you've wanted for years. Until the night I woke up to find her curled up next to me, under the covers. Chapter 1. I have a theory that it takes the human brain at least 3 tries to fully process something when it's the opposite of what you want to hear. Take now. I'm on the 3rd attempt. Even though I can clearly hear the words the woman on the phone says, I'm sure if I repeat them in the form of a question, she'll eventually say what I want her to say. I lost the apartment. I try again, because soon the bad news she's serving up will magically morph into something good, like if a rice cake turned into a pizza, preferably a cheese pie with mushrooms. Because there is no fucking way the leasing agent is telling me this. The landlord had a change of heart, she says once more, and the sweet one-bedroom in Chelsea slips through my fingers. I grit my teeth and suck in a breath as I pace outside the emergency room entrance at the hospital. The sidewalk is clogged with other doctors, too, as well as nurses and paramedics, not to mention visitors. I move away from them, walking along the brick exterior during this short break in my day. But this is the 5th time a place has fallen through, I say, doing my best to keep my tone even. I don't have a temper. I don't get angry. But if I were to, this might be the reason. Because Dante was wrong. Finding an apartment in New York City is the 10th circle of hell. It's the 11th, 12th, and 13th, too. Consider my luck so far in this impossible quest. The first apartment went bust when the landlord changed her mind. The second time, the place was rented to someone in the family. The third pad had termites. You get my drift. It's a tough market right now, Erica, the leasing agent says. I gotta give her credit. She's been trying to find me four walls and a floor for more than a month. I'll look again to see if there are any new available options. Thanks. My sublease is up, so I'm going to be homeless soon. I turn around and pace back toward the entrance. Buying a place isn't an option. I've still got medical school debt, and doctors don't make bank the way they used to. Especially not first-year ER docs. She laughs. I doubt you'll be homeless. Besides, I've told you, the couch at my place has your name on it. Come to think of it, so does the bed, if you know what I mean. I blink. I do know what she means. I just wasn't expecting to be propositioned by my leasing agent at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. Or a Thursday, or a Friday, basically, on any day. Thanks for the offer. I rein in my surprise because I thought she was married. And not just the regular kind of married, but the happily kind. You let me know, Chase. I make a great ceviche, I'm incredibly neat, and I wouldn't even charge you a dime. We could work out some other form of payment, she says with a purr. And my leasing agent has now officially requested that I be her boy toy. Fuck. Time to grow a beard. I know I look young for my job, but young enough to be asked to be a sugar boy? I turn to the glass window of the hospital and consider my face. Clean-shaven, hazel eyes, light brown hair, chiseled jaw. Damn, I'm quite a specimen. No wonder she propositioned me. Maybe I should take her more seriously. Even though I have zero interest in serving as anyone's sex slave, her offer is borderline tempting because I'm at the end of the line. I've scoured Craigslist and every place else, but I might as well give a kidney for a one-bedroom. That'd be easier than finding a pad in this city. You know all those TV shows where the perky 20-something advertising assistant nabs a swell apartment with a flower planter, bright purple walls, and a reading nook on the Upper West Side? Or when the wet-behind-the-ears dude with an entry-level post at a magazine lands a swank bachelor pad in Tribeca? They lie. At this point, I'd give my spleen just for a closet under a staircase. Wait, I take that back. I like my spleen. It'd have to be a closet on the first floor for me to give up an organ, even one I can technically live without. What do you think? You up for it? Erica asks, in what no doubt is her best sexiest sin voice. Bob said he's fine with you being here, too. I frown. Bob? Immediately, I want to take back the question because I've got a sinking feeling Bob could be her vibrator, and I walked right into that one. Bob, my husband, she says matter-of-factly, and now I wish we were talking about a toy. That's quite generous of him, I deadpan. And please let him know that while I appreciate his magnanimity, a mattress in the locker room just opened up. I turn off my phone and head inside, my quick break over. Sandy, the curly-haired charge nurse, marches up to me, a serious look on her face as she tips her head toward the nearby exam room. But the tiniest twinkle in her gray eyes tells me my newest patient's situation isn't dire. Rim 2, foreign body stuck in the forehead, she tells me. That's my cue to forget about square footage and unconventional living arrangements. When I stride into the exam room, I find an angular, blonde Aquaman perched on the edge of the hospital bed. I'm Dr. Summers. Nice threads. I flash a quick smile. Always helps to diffuse the situation. And besides, if I reacted to the 3-inch shard of glass sticking out of the forehead of the guy in the green costume, they should take my goddamn license away. He shoots me a rueful grin as he glances at his getup. The polyester outfit is torn down the right arm and ripped along the thigh. Looks like a fun morning, I say, eyeing the crystal fragment in his skin. Let me guess, your forehead got intimately acquainted with the chandelier? He nods guiltily, the look in his eyes telling me he wasn't trying to fly. And let me hazard another guess. I stroke my chin. You were trying to spice up your sex life by testing the whole idea of hanging from the chandeliers. He swallows, gives another small nod, then an unsteady, yep. Can you get it out? That's what she said, I say, and he chuckles. I pat his shoulder. Couldn't resist. But the answer is yes, and there will be only a small scar. I'm excellent at stitches. He takes a deep breath, and I get to work, numbing his forehead before I remove the glass. We chat as I go, making small talk about his fondness for superheroes, then I tell him the latest of my apartment hunt woes. Manhattan is crazy, he says. Even in commercial real estate, it's all gone through the roof. Then he adds, almost sheepishly, though I can't complain since that's my business. Smart man. Square footage in this city is like a precious jewel, I say, as I finish work on the stitches. 20 minutes later, I've sewn up his forehead, and a nurse returns with the shard and a plastic biohazard bag. She hands it to me, and I pass it on to the rightful owner. A souvenir of today's visit to the ER, I tell the guy, and he takes the bag. Thanks, Doc. The sad thing is, we didn't even get to the main event. That's why it's an urban myth. You can't really do it while hanging from the chandelier. And hey, next time you're feeling adventurous, take a cooking class and then go home and use the table for dessert, okay? But make sure it's a nice, smooth wood, because I don't want to have to remove a 3-inch splinter from your gluteus maximus. That's not as good a war story. He nods crisply. I promise, no more acrobatics. But kudos on having a woman who likes you that much, I say as we leave the room. He tilts his head. How'd you know she likes me? I nod toward the row of chairs in the waiting room at the end of the hallway. A dark-haired woman in a busty emerald-green costume nibbles on her lip and checks her watch. When she raises her face, her eyes light up as they land on Aquaman. I'm guessing the mermaid brought you in and waited for you? Yeah, Aquaman says with a dopey smile as he looks at his woman. Bed tonight. Use the bed, man, I say in a low voice. He gives me a thumbs up as he leaves. And that's today's latest chapter in the tales of the naughty deeds that land you in the ER. Yesterday it was a zipper malfunction. Last week it was a fracture from a back handspring. Yeah, you don't want to know what was fractured. Later, when my shift ends, I change into my street clothes in the locker room, button my jeans, and tug on a t-shirt. I rake my fingers through my hair, grab my shades, and leave the workday behind me. The second the door slides shut at Mercy Hospital, I turn off the medical portion of my brain, plug in my headphones, and crank up the audiobook I've been listening to lately. It's on the theory of chaos, and it keeps me company as I head to Greenwich Village to meet a friend. Once downtown, I leave the subway and a throng of New Yorkers on a warm June day and make my way to the Sugar Love Sweet Shop to meet my friend, Josie. Yes, this friend happens to possess boobs. Because I have another theory. Men and women can be friends. Great friends. Even if the woman happens to be the owner of the most fantastic pair of breasts this man has ever seen. A body is a body is a body. I can appreciate her figure empirically, in all its curves and softness, and that doesn't mean I want to hang from the chandeliers with her or even screw her on a table. Fine, I'll concede she's totally table-screwable, but I don't let myself think of Josie that way. Even if she looks amazing in that pink, scoop-neck t-shirt and a cute little polka-dot apron tied around her waist. When she spots me, she waves and calls me into the candy shop. I go, and my mouth is only watering because I like sweet things. Chapter 2. Josie dangles a red fish in front of me. Caught it today, she says with a boastful nod at the tiny treat in her hand. Fresh from the candy shop shelves. Did it put up a fight? She shakes her head as she drops the fish in its plastic bag. Nope, it succumbed to my credit card. Reeled it in just like that, she snaps her fingers. We're at Abingdon Square Park, a small triangular patch of green at the edge of the village. It's one of the few parks that feels like its own island in Manhattan, and we settle onto a navy blue wooden bench. We're not far from the sweet shop where she finished her sushi candy-making class. She takes a new treat from her bag and holds it in her palm. You ready? I open my mouth. Pop it in, baby. Yeah, maybe that sounded dirty. Who cares? I don't, nor does Josie, who also happens to be the little sister of my best bud, Wyatt. She's requested I serve as her guinea pig tonight. The first taste test? A Swedish fish roll, as she calls it. The red gummy is parked atop a Rice Krispies treat center and wrapped in a green fruit roll-up. Moments like this remind me that perspective is key, because man, my life could be worse. Sure, I'm going to be living the Airbnb lifestyle any day now, bouncing from lumpy couch to lumpier futon, but sweetness is about to land on my tongue. I bite into the candy roll, and it's a carnival of deliciousness. My eyebrows wriggle, and I nod approvingly as I finish chewing. I adopt an over-the-top restaurant critic's voice. Just the perfect mix of marshmallow goodness that pairs ever so wonderfully with the tang of the fruit roll-up. Add in the flavor sensation of the perennial favorite Swedish fish, and you have a masterpiece on your hands. Josie's a baker, but not just any baker. She's a world-class dessertier. I don't know if that's a word, but it fucking should be, given how this woman can wield a mixer and a baking pan. There's nothing sweet that she can't make taste like a party in your mouth. Probably why her taking over her parents' old shop, Sunshine Bakery, has been such a success. Her eyes widen at my masterpiece compliment. Really? You're not just saying that, are you? I'm stone-faced as I answer her. I never lie about treats. Case in point, remember the time you made those chocolate chip cookies that contained the world's worst food item? You still can't say the name of it, can you? I close my eyes, an involuntary shudder running down my spine. Just trying to block out the memory of... Taking a deep breath, I force out the next word. Raisins. When I open my eyes, I'm sure they're still laced with horror as I recall what she did to those helpless cookies. Seriously, how could you defile something as wonderful as a chocolate chip cookie with a dried grape? She shrugs helplessly. That's how you discover what works and what doesn't work in the kitchen. You have to try. I was trying something new. Cowboy cookies with chocolate chips, coconut, and... I clasp my palm over her lips. Don't say it again. I release my hold on her mouth, and she rolls her eyes, then mouths raisins. I cringe. Anyway, these sushi rolls are the opposite. They're perfect. But why'd you need to take a class? Why not just follow a recipe? Her answer is simple. I like taking classes, and I want these desserts to be the best. Plus, the woman who runs that sweet shop has the best candies. Those aren't regular Swedish fish that you can buy in a grocery store. They're handmade from her family recipe. That's why I wanted you to meet me as soon as class ended, to taste them fresh. Are you going to serve them fresh? She nods excitedly and spreads her hands wide, the silver heart-shaped ring on her index finger glinting in the evening sun. Here's my plan. I thought I'd start offering a new fun and quirky treat each day. Like candy sushi on Mondays at 3, and then on Tuesdays I'd do coconut chocolate chip cookies minus the food item that shall not be named. I mouth, thank you. On Wednesday afternoons, I'd offer a grapefruit macaroon, for instance. And I can market the shop more on social media like the food trucks do. It'll be like appointment treats daily at the Sunshine Bakery. That's brilliant. I clear my throat, sigh deeply, and set a hand on her arm. But I need to break this to you. No one likes grapefruit. Not even in a macaroon. Her green eyes shine like she has a secret. Ah, but you've never tried my grapefruit macaroon. I'll make that for you next. It's delish. I promise, she says. Then reaches up to tighten her ponytail. Her dark brown hair is streaked with pink near the tips. Normally shades of bright colors in the locks do nothing for me, but on Josie, it just works. It suits her personality. She's bright and outgoing, friendly and happy. She's exactly the type of person who can rock pink-streaked hair and selling cake, cookies, and seven-layer bars at a cheery bakery on the Upper West Side, plus sushi candy, too. She has the whole look. The soft curves, the inviting smile, the warm eyes, the fun hair, and the upbeat attitude. Like it's a surprise this woman became one of my closest friends after I met her about 10 years ago. It's impossible not to like Josie. And I'm not even talking about her rack. See? I'm so well-behaved. She gives me 2 more treats to try, and neither one floats my boat. I tell her that each time, and she simply nods and says thanks. Dipping her hand in the bag, she grabs what looks like a Twinkie sushi roll wrapped in taffy to represent the seaweed. Try this one, she says, handing me a slice as a summer breeze rustles the branches of a nearby tree. I arch an eyebrow in question. Aren't Twinkies bad for you? She winks at me. Don't you know? Everything that tastes good is bad for you. Besides, it's not a Twinkie Twinkie, she adds, pointing at the dessert sushi. What is it? Like a Twinkie's bastard cousin? A Winky Twinkie? A Kinky Twinkie? It's a Trinkie, she says, laughing. It's homemade. I whipped it up and brought it to the class. I made my own version of Twinkies, so they're not, you know, disgusting. Here you go, she tells me. I bite into the treat and my eyes go wide. Holy shit, you have to sell that. I'm so glad you like it, Josie says with a grin. And now you have done your due diligence as my favorite taste tester. Do you have any idea how awful it was for me when you were in Africa? I can't even imagine the hell you went through without me around, I say, since I was gone for a year with Doctors Without Borders, doing a stint in the Central African Republic and helping out the people who've suffered most through the armed conflict and instability in that country. Those were some of the most challenging but also most gratifying times I've ever spent. It made me a better doctor. I hope it made me a better person, too. It definitely made me miss Josie's taste tests of treats, though. It was rough, Chase, she says, all serious looking as she teases me. I just had to take it day by day to get through. Speaking of rough days, so this guy came into the ER earlier, I say, since Josie enjoys tales from the ER. Her eyes light up and she rubs her hands as if to say, tell me, tell me. He was testing the structural integrity of a chandelier, I say, then share the rest of the story of Aquaman's adventures. She cringes, then laughs. Well, that beats my crazy morning. I narrow my eyes. Don't tell me you tried to get intimate with a KitchenAid mixer. Ha, no. Last week, I started looking for a roomie now that Natalie's moved out. Oh, yeah? Natalie is Josie's former roommate. Now she's hitched to Wyatt, and they're living together in his apartment. Talk about a pain in the forehead. This morning, a woman who answered my ad stopped by to see my place and wanted to know my quiet hours, like what time each night we have mandatory lights out at my home. Josie shoots me a look that tells me that's the nuttiest idea. Did you tell her the curfew at Shea Josie? 9 p.m., on the dot, she says primly, straightening her spine. But I didn't bother to tell her that after 9 is when I go crazy and watch loud and naughty HBO shows. Like there's any other kind. She taps my leg. But that doesn't even compare to the lady who wanted to know if the building allowed snakes. No fucking way, I say, recoiling. I can handle blood, guts, and all manner of foreign objects in completely wrong locations, but animals that slither, nope, can't do it. Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? Josie and I ask in unison, quoting Raiders of the Lost Ark. She shudders. I swear looking for a roommate is all I've been doing, too, and the parade of crazy started as soon as I began advertising for a single female roommate, 20s to 30s. The next woman who answered the ad wanted to know if I would be baking at home. She said she was allergic to flour and feared my apartment would aggravate her sensitivities. See, I'm not sensitive at all. You could bake around me anytime. You could taste everything I want to try making. I puff up my cheeks. I'd balloon out. I make a basketball arc over my stomach, too. Hardly. She darts out a hand and pats my belly. It's flat as a board. I work out a lot. Plus, I walk or bike all over the city. I like to stay busy. My mom said when I was a kid I was a perpetual motion machine. She also called me high energy, always on, and exasperating. And not necessarily in that order. But that's why medicine fits me so well, and that's also why I pick the ER for my practice. Keeps me on my toes, keeps me busy, keeps me moving. It's a mental and a physical challenge. If only you were a girl, Josie sighs dejectedly. You'd be the perfect roommate. If only I were a girl, I'd play with my tits all day. You would not, would so. I waggle my hands in front of my chest to mime my activity of choice in this if-only scenario. She swats me. You're ridiculous. She tilts her head as a bird chirps in a nearby tree. But enough about me. You must have good news on the apartment front by now. Did you get the place in Chelsea you were hoping for? I drag a hand through my hair. Nope. And let's just say there were some conditions attached to the latest offer that made me realize I need to start from scratch. Mainly, my leasing agent pitched me a threesome. Her jaw drops.
For real?
I nod. Yeah, for real. I'm confident it was a bona fide offer, since she told me she makes a great ceviche, too. Like, why else would you mention the ceviche? Clearly, she was using it as a lure. Josie frowns. I don't get it. Is ceviche like a thing in threesomes? I laugh and shake my head. No. Actually, I don't know because I'm not into that. But all I know is she was so goddamn normal about both the threesome and the fish dish, that's how I knew she was for real. Josie holds up her hands in surrender. You win. That's crazier than the curfew lady, the snake lady, or the no-baking lady. You're telling me. Bouncing around from place to place is wearing on me, I say with a sigh. When I'd returned to the United States a few months ago, I moved in with my brother Max, but he lives downtown, and I mean way downtown, and I work uptown. Besides, it's not my style to stay with him forever. It's like I have some sort of curse when it comes to finding a decent rental. And you have a curse when it comes to finding a decent roommate. Her voice trails off as she stares at me. Really stares. And as she seems to study me, the answer clicks. The light bulb literally goes off at the same time for both of us. I can see it in the sparkle in her eyes. I'm sure it matches mine.
Why didn't we think of this before?
She asks slowly, as if she's inviting me to fill in the blanks. I gesture from her to me. You mean the fact that I can solve your roommate problem and you can solve my housing woes? She nods several times.
Just because I was originally looking for a female roommate doesn't mean
that a male roommate wouldn't work out, I offer, and a burst of hope rises in me. This could be the answer. Holy shit. This could be the motherfucking answer, and I won't have to give up a spleen, a kidney, or my love of one-on-one sex in exchange for polyamory. She swallows, looks nervous.
Would that be weird? I know you wanted a place to yourself.
I shake my head adamantly. I just want a place at this point. Are you really offering? I ask, and maybe I should consider all the fine details and nuances, but fuck. This isn't a patient presenting with unusual symptoms where I need to call in Dr. House. This is a simple malady. This is the headache with the take aspirin and call me in the morning solution. She holds out one hand like a scale, weighing the situation. I need a roommate. I haven't found anyone who isn't crazy. Then the other hand. You need somewhere to live. You haven't found any place that isn't cursed. She brushes her palms together. And let's not forget we get along super well and always have. I nod vigorously. We're like the poster children for getting along well.
I mean, has there ever been a guy and a girl friend who get along as well as we do?
I slash my hand through the air. Fuck no, not in the history of the world. Plus, you like my cooking, and I like your ability to not hog the bathroom mirror for a full hour when you dry your hair and do your makeup. I gesture to my face. In and out and under five, all natural beauty here. She nudges me with her elbow. The other great thing is we'll each have our space. Since I work early, we wouldn't be on top of each other every second. My dick stirs, not because I'm horny for her, but hello, the image of her sweet, sexy body on top of me is legally required to induce an erection. If it didn't, I'd need to be tested for ED. We'd only be on top of each other a few seconds a day, I fire back, because that was too good to resist. Then, to sell myself more, because this is the golden ticket for both of us, I add, I'm also amazingly good at reaching objects on tall shelves, opening champagne bottles, taking out the trash, and any other manly tasks you want to throw my way. Not to mention sewing up wounds and restarting hearts. She taps a finger to her lips.
Manly tasks can be helpful. Plus, I have at least 24 unopened champagne bottles crying out for your attention.
I pump a fist. Does that mean you'll take that roommate ad down? Like, now? She grabs her phone and removes the ad. Like that, we take the aspirin to fix the problem, and we don't even need to call the doctor in the morning. Chapter 3. From the pages of Josie's recipe book. Josie's Swedish fish rolls. Ingredients. Butter, marshmallows, but please use the gelatin-free kind because gelatin equals gross, and as my friend Spencer says, beef candy is not a thing. Puffed rice cereal, fruit roll-ups, Swedish fish. The number of Swedish fish is up to you. My rule of thumb is as many Swedish fish as you need for the recipe, allowing for the fact that you will eat them as you make the sushi because Swedish fish are delish. Directions. 1. Melt butter in a medium saucepan over low heat and add marshmallows. Stir marshmallows until completely melted. Speaking of melted, that's not at all how I feel around Chase Summers, no matter how good-looking he is. I swear that man does not melt me. He does, however, entertain me, and that's one of the many reasons I suggested we move in together. Living with Chase will be like having HBO on all day, except, you know, minus the nudity. Unless I peek at him in the shower, and I'm totally not going to do that. 2. Add cereal and coat thoroughly. 3. Roll out the fruit roll-ups. Place a quarter of the coated cereal onto each fruit roll-up and spread across. 4. Place a line of fish on the coated cereal. 5. Roll up the fruit roll-up with the crispy treat and the fish inside. Gently. Sushi candy needs a subtle, sensual touch. 6. Place a sharp knife into a bowl of very warm water. Slice, serve. 7. Share with a friend. Optional step. Pat self on back for having the most excellent idea of sharing an apartment with a good friend who makes you laugh and helps your business. We are such a great fit. Chapter 4. Josie and I walked across town like two conquering generals who joined forces on the battlefield of New York real estate. Now we put the carnage behind us as we lay down the law of our new future. Since she and Natalie took over a month-to-month lease from Charlotte when she moved out, we'll be paying some dude named Mr. Barnes. He owns the place, and Charlotte paved the way to transfer her lease when she left. Don't let anyone tell you New York real estate isn't about luck and who you know. I don't have a lot of rules, but I'll be frank. I don't like dirty socks, so please don't be a slob, Josie tells me as her sandals click on the sidewalk en route to her place in Murray Hill. Her short little skirt shows off her bare legs, toned from the soccer rec league she plays in, even though I'm not checking out her legs, her strong, shapely legs. I scoff. I'm basically the neatest guy around. She gives me a side-eyed stare. And you're straight? I hold up my hands. Woman, straight men can be clean. Do not stereotype. She laughs and elbows my side as we stroll east. I'm teasing. I know both things about you, your straightness and your cleanliness, Dr. McHottie, she says as we pass a flower shop. The nickname nearly halts me in my tracks, but before I can ask why she called me that, and if she does really think of me that way, she's moved on to a new topic. As for music, noise, TV, and all that jazz, all I ask is we be respectful of each other. I do wake up early to open the bakery, and I need a solid 7 hours of sleep, or I'm a total witch. You, a witch? I doubt it. She cackles and curves her fingers into claws. Complete with the pointy hat and black cat if I don't sleep well. I won't disturb your slumber with heavy metal or playing my audiobooks out loud, I say, as we reach the crosswalk and wait for the little man in the sign to turn green. Besides, I'm all about the earphones anyway. My relationship with my headphones is quite possibly the longest one I've had. That trumps the year-long one with my ex, a fellow doctor named Adele, and even that lasted about 11 months longer than it should have. A dark cloud hovers at the edge of my thoughts. I don't like thinking about the girl who was my closest friend once upon a time. I basically try to never think of Adele, if I can help it. We're on the same page about hours, cleanliness, and cooking, and our schedules fit well together, Josie says, as we separate briefly to give room to a harried mom charging through the evening crowds with a stroller. Oh, and rent is due on the first of the month to Mr. Barnes, and if you want to move in right away, that would be awesome. She seems a little guilty, like maybe she feels bad asking me to move in so soon. But hell, I'm effectively a homeless guy, so her speed is of the essence offer sounds good. I can be in this weekend, I say. Thank God, she says, exhaling deeply. I have to admit, I took out a loan a few months ago to expand the bakery,
and I've been stretched a bit thin between payments and rent each month. It's doable, but I just really need a roomie to spread the cost. That's why I'm so glad you can do this. You're saving me. I don't know what I'd do without you stepping up like this. I squeeze her shoulder. You can count on me, Josie. I've got a year-long contract at Mercy, so I'm not skipping town. And besides, you're saving me, so we're totally even. Good. I need you for even more than your talented mouth now, she says, and I blink and stare at her, trying to figure out if she's even aware of the innuendo that just spilled from her pretty lips. But she's about to be. I wiggle my eyebrows. My mouth is damn talented. And did you know my tongue has amazing stamina? Rolling her eyes, she chuckles. I deserve that. I left you no choice but to go there. I nod. You can't say things like that and expect me not to comment. Oh, believe you me, I know about your level of dirty commentary, and it's a damn good thing I find it amusing. And all your naughty comments are making me forget the tips and guidelines for roommate compatibility that I'm supposed to review. She stops in front of a tall stone church with a slate-gray exterior, gazing up at the vast New York sky, a rare cloudless blue this evening as the sun dips toward the horizon. She looks as if she's contemplating something, but then she shrugs happily. I had this whole list of questions to ask potential roommates, but it doesn't really matter anymore. I know we're compatible. I hold my arms out wide. I'm easy. What you see is what you get. You know I love that about you, she says as we resume our pace across town. We've known each other for years, and Josie and I hit it off from day one. When I visited her parents' home in New York City with Wyatt during my junior year of college, we clicked instantly. The first time I walked through the door of the family's brownstone on the Upper West Side, she didn't even hesitate to throw her arms around me and welcome me into the home. After that embrace, she thrust a plate of mini cupcakes at me, and the rest was history. She was home from college at the same time as I was, and one of the reasons we got along so well is we're close in age. I skipped two grades as a kid, so I wound up starting college at 16. Wyatt and I were in the same graduating class at school, but he's 2 years older. Anyway, I went on to spend many weekends at Wyatt's home since my folks live outside Seattle and I attended school near Manhattan. Along with Wyatt's twin brother Nick, we all hung out together on those long weekends, watching movies and traipsing around the city, checking out bands, and visiting, ironically of course, tourist traps like the Wax Museum in Times Square to photobomb as many pictures as possible. At the clubs, Nick and Wyatt gave Josie and me a hard time because we weren't old enough to drink. In our favor, though, we discovered we made a powerful Scrabble team and we crushed the Hammer Twins in our games. I knew the killer science words like dyspnea and zygosity, and Josie, the lit major, slayed it with her all-around love of words, including her mastery of the two-letter Scrabble ones. We destroyed those fuckers one night in a nine-letter game with a 1-2 punch of diplococci and key, Q-I. The prize? They had to go out and buy us beer. Victory had never tasted so good. Funny that even though Wyatt's my buddy, I've managed to become close friends with his sister, too. Probably helps that Wyatt knows there's nothing cooking between Josie and me. Hell, how else do you explain being friends with a girl this long? Obviously, I don't want her. Besides, I've been there and learned the hard way that getting into a relationship with a woman you're friends with can only end in heartbreak. Thank you, Adele, for that little lesson. I won't go there again, ever. When we reach Fifth Avenue, Josie clears her throat, returning me to the moment. But there is one thing I want to ask from my list of roommate questions. Hit me with it. What's your romantic situation? That's just something that's good to know for two people about to live together, don't you think? Her eyes meet mine. The question strikes me as odd. Doesn't she know my romantic situation? I'm not involved with anyone, but you knew that. She holds up her hands, almost defensively. I didn't want to assume anything. You might have met a pretty young thing last night, she says lightly. I laugh. Nope. Last night I rode 25 miles with Max after work. Prep for the century we're doing at the end of the summer. I raise my chin toward her, then something sticks in my throat as I force out, Are you involved with someone romantically? Why does it sound like I'm croaking, and why am I clenching my fists, hoping to hell she'll say no?
She shakes her head as we cross the avenue and head toward her pad. I haven't seen her place before, but I know where she lives in the city. She moved when I was in Africa. Nope. I breathe a strange sigh of relief. Then I tell myself it's just easier if whoever I live with is unentangled. Significant others can be ball breakers, no matter the gender. Cool, I say, keeping my tone light. But I've started online dating. My stomach twists. Why would you do that? She gives me a look as if I'm crazy for asking. Why wouldn't I? I'm 28 and single in the city. I wouldn't mind meeting a nice guy. And you think you'll meet him online? A pretty young thing? Why not? That's how people meet these days. She gestures to me. Where do you meet women? Most of the women I've been involved with in my late 20s have been doctors or nurses, to be honest, or chicks I met at a bar and banged. Hey, it happens. I don't say all that to Josie, though. Work, usually. That's where I meet people. I rub a hand over my jaw, processing what online dating might mean. Are you going to bring home some dude you meet online? She laughs. You said that as if it tasted like vinegar. It kind of did. Truthfully, I hadn't noodled on this part of the roommate equation. While I didn't think either one of us would monk it up and practice celibacy, I hadn't factored in the impact of another person's love life either. Shit. Now I need to think about the nuances of her bringing dudes home. Like finding a sock on the doorknob when I get off work. That image doesn't sit well with me. Will there be a tube sock to warn me to stay away? She winks. No, a sexy black lace thong. I nearly stumble on a sidewalk crack. She'd look good in a black thong. She'd look good in a pink one, a white one, any color. Oh, fuck. And soon she might even walk around the apartment and just... And for the record, I do not strut around the apartment wearing nothing but heels and underwear. Damn, there goes that dream. But maybe I can resurrect it. Any chance you'd consider making that fashion statement, say, in about 3 days once I move in? She laughs as she shakes her head. I don't think either one of us wants to be caught with our pants down. Let's be honest. I was looking for a female roommate because it's just easier for a woman to live with a woman. Same reason you were looking for your own place. But neither one of us had any luck. Now, we just have to be thoughtful and considerate of the fact that we're a man and a woman who are good friends living together, and we'll have to adjust to things like the other person dating and me possibly bringing home a guy or you potentially bringing home a girl, right? I nod. She's right, even though I wish she weren't. And while it's not like I was hitting it and quitting it every single night, something about bringing a woman home to a place I'll share with Josie seems odd. Even so, it's best to be prepared. Yeah, we'll need a plan. Exactly. Should we just do what any good roommate does? Screw someone in the bathroom at a bar before we go home? I suggest innocently, batting my eyes. She swats my arm as we cross the street. You're terrible. I simply mean that we'll need a code word, a heads up. I'll text you or you'll text me with that word. Like aardvark? I've always thought aardvark would be an awesome code word because it's completely obvious it's a code word. She calls me on my bluff, narrowing her eyes as we reach the block with her building. Aardvark it is, but what if things get awkward between us? What would be awkward between us? She shrugs. I don't know. Like maybe if you're showering when I come home, how will I know to stay out of the bathroom? I furrow my brow. Wouldn't the sound of the shower be all you need to stay out? She snaps her fingers. Good point. I guess I was just thinking, if anything felt awkward between us... She waves her hand from her to me and back. Oh, I get it now. I pretend to whisper. You mean, I say. Taking my time to drawl out each syllable. Sexual tension? Her cheeks flush. No, I just mean awkward. I don't mean that. Just that we're a man and a woman living together. It's just smart to be prepared for any weirdness. Just kidding, Josie, I say, and drape an arm around her. Things will never be awkward between us. But if they ever get that way, just say Swedish fish. That will be our safe word. But then how do we diffuse the tension? I tap my chin. That's a very good question. Neither one of us has an answer.
A few minutes later, we enter her building, head to the elevator, and shoot up 6 floors. As we walk down the hall, she gives me her preamble. Both rooms are tiny. When Charlotte moved out to live with Spencer, Mr. Barnes gave approval so that we could have Wyatt turn the one-bedroom apartment into 2 bedrooms so Natalie and I could live here. She unlocks the door, guides me through the living room, and swings open the entrance to my new bedroom. My eyebrows shoot into my hairline. It's the size of, well, of a mattress. The bed is up against the wall, and if the other room is the same size as this one, that means my bed will be next to her bed. One thin wall will separate us. Talk about Swedish fish. Chapter 5. My brother's laughter booms across all of Battery Park as he greases the chain on his bike. A street lamp illuminates his work. Morning hints at the horizon, but the sky is still the dark blue before the dawn. It's 5:30 on a Friday, and we're getting ready to ride. I adjust the tire pressure on my bike as I jerk my head to look at Max. What's so funny? He wipes down the chain with a rag, making sure it's well oiled. What you just said, that's what is funny. That I'm moving in with Josie? He nods several times. Yep, that one. And I thought you were the genius in the family. But you must have forgotten to take a dose of common sense the other day, he says as he spins the chain. Max builds custom cars for a living, so this kind of pre-ride prep is part of his rule book. Besides, today's training calls for 30 miles, and we want to make sure the two-wheelers can handle that. With this century ride coming up soon, we need to be ready. Hence the early morning start. We're on a team that's raising money for better medical care for veterans. I stand, resting a palm on the seat of my road bike. This choice is 100% common sense. We've been friends forever, and we both need a place to live. Besides, you kicked me out. Max stands too, rising to his full height. I'm a tall guy, but he's taller than my 6 feet and broader. He's basically the definition of intimidating, especially when you add in the big muscles and the dark eyes. But he's a total teddy bear to me, and always has been, so the big hulking look doesn't work. He points to my chest. I did not kick you out. I told you that you were welcome to stay in the lap of older brother luxury as long as you wanted, he says, gesturing behind him to the sweet-as-sin high-rise building he lives in. I already rode a few miles downtown to meet him here. Nah, too far from Mercy. Josie's closer. Only takes me 10 minutes to get to work from her place instead of 30 from here. He claps a hand on my shoulder. I hardly think the extra 20 minutes each way is worth you shacking up with a girl you're hot for, man. That's crazy. I scoff. I'm not hot for Josie. I've been friends with her forever. He fixes me with a steely stare. Fine, he's not all teddy bear. Sometimes he's a hard ass, like when he tries to give me his serious eyes. Do you or do you not think she's hot? I raise my chin. I can hold my own under his inquisition. Besides, the answer is as easy as pie. A delicious cherry pie, like the one Josie made for me a few weeks ago. I do think she's hot, he smirks, but I hold up a finger to correct him. On a purely scientific, empirical basis. He shakes his head like he doesn't believe me. Let the record reflect I have never done a damn thing about it, and that's because I'm highly evolved. I can admire a woman's appearance without wanting to get in her pants. Max claps me on the back. Then I hope you and your purely scientific appreciation of Josie's physical attributes have no problem being in such close proximity to all those empirical assets of hers, he says, grabbing the helmet from the handlebars and snapping it on with one hand. He straddles his bike. I mount mine, too. Why do you think I can't handle living with her? I like her. She's awesome. His laughter answers me again. Because you flirt with her incessantly. We pedal away from the park, heading toward the Hudson River Greenway with a handful of other early morning cyclists. And yet, I have somehow amazingly never come on to her. Don't you think if I was attracted to her, something would have happened at least once in all the years I've known her? He shakes his head as we pick up speed, riding side by side on the path now. No, because now you're kicking it up a notch, and there's this thing that happens when you pour gasoline on something and then light a match.
Oh yeah? I adopt a simpleton tone. What's that thing that happens? Does it, I don't know, catch fire? He snorts. I would smack you upside the head if we weren't on bikes right now. Our wheels turn faster as we sail over the smooth concrete path, swerving carefully around joggers and power walkers. As we pass a pack of runners, I pull ahead. I bet you would, I call out, if you could catch me. I spend all of the next 30 miles maintaining a pace that's a couple of bike lengths ahead of my big brother. When we're done, my heart beats fast and sweat slides down my forehead. I dismount where we started in Battery Park and he does the same. I glance at my watch. Just enough time for a hearty breakfast before work. I've got an hour until I'm due at Mercy for my shift. Fridays tend to be busy days at the ER. The action heats up, especially on a Friday afternoon. This might be my only meal today. Let's do it. Oh, and by the way, that's exactly how I'll manage living with Josie, like I did staying ahead of you the whole ride. I'll just keep pace ahead of any potential complications, I say, as we make our way to our favorite diner right across the street. Keep telling yourself that. We lock up our bikes and head inside to order. And that's exactly what I'll tell myself when I move in this weekend. Chapter 6. I point to the curved wooden stand with a hook at the top. This. Explain this. Josie sets her hands on her hips. It's a banana holder. I give her a stern look. I can read. I don't need to know what. I need to know why. I poke the object on the shelf at Bed Bath & Beyond, otherwise known as the Nexus of Unnecessary Things. Pretty sure there's some kind of vortex or force field right smack dab in the middle of this store, attracting all the weird, bizarre, and odd home goods. Why can't they sit on the kitchen counter? Or how about in a bowl? Maybe the bananas just like to dangle, she suggests. Hang free and all. Smacking my forehead, I go along with it. Aha! That makes perfect sense. I'm here to help. She tugs on my shirt sleeve. But can we please get to the sheet aisle? You can't sleep on a naked mattress.